Welcome back to Upstate's Health and Gone Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Did you know that 1 in 30 baby boomers, that's the generation born between 1945 and 65, has been infected with hepatitis C? And most don't even know it. Well, the Centers for Disease Control has recently recommended hepatitis C testing for all baby boomers. And joining us this morning to help us understand this recommendation are Dr. David Parr. He's the Associate Professor of Medicine specializing in infectious diseases, and he's also the Medical Director of the Designated AIDS Center here at Upstate. And along with him, he has brought Kelly Flood. She is a social worker, and she's the Assistant Program Director for the Designated AIDS Center here at Upstate. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks.
So before we go on to the Hep C recommendation, what's the relationship here with Hep C and your AIDS clinic? I mean,
well, Linda, in the United States and actually most of the developed world, about 30% of people who have HIV also have hepatitis C, and that's because the diseases are spread similarly. So so we see both HIV and Hep C patients in our clinic co-infected.
So your AIDS clinic, I know here at Upstate, really sees a lot of people, up to 1,000 people currently, servicing
Correct.
Them
yes.
for all kinds of issues having to do with AIDS. But isn't also that people who have AIDS are immunosuppressed in a sense, their immune system isn't functioning, and then they would be more apt to get an infection like hepatitis C. Is that true as well or not?
Well, I mean, they're apt to get it if they're still taking part in unsafe behaviors. So I don't know that the immunosuppression itself makes them more likely to get it, but what it does do, when somebody comes in contact with hepatitis C, approximately 20% of people will fight it off, and 80% will develop chronic long-term infection. So if you're immunosuppressed with HIV or other reasons for immunosuppression, then it might be more like 95% of people, of the suppressed people, will get the chronic infection rather than 80%.
Right. Well, let's get on to specifically talking about what this recommendation is, because it's somewhat shocking because we have so many baby boomers in this country. I mean, you know, the baby boomers are like the pig in the python in terms of the large numbers that we have kind of moving through our system. And we've affected the health delivery and healthcare delivery at every stage. So tell us, first of all, what is the recommendation, Dr. Parr? What have they suggested, that everyone through this age range needs to have
that people get tested for hepatitis C? And the reason why is this group of people is at risk, and we'll talk about why they're at risk. But also, when one has hepatitis C infection, you're basically asymptomatic for the first 10 to 20 years.
Really?
And so you don't know it. So you wouldn't go to your doctor because you're feeling bad. So the thing to do is to screen asymptomatic people.
Okay, so let's start with the disease itself, hepatitis C. What is it, and what does it do to you? Yeah. What's infected?
Okay, so hepatitis, there is a virus, and there are a number of hepatitis viruses, A, B, C, D, E are the most common ones, but there are actually a few other ones. So hepatitis C is a virus. It's most commonly acquired by blood exposures that can occur in a variety of ways, and it goes to the liver.
So hepatitis is an infection of the liver?
Yes.
Okay. And you have different strains, as you said.
Yes, and there are different. So it's an infection of the liver. The word hepatitis is derived from the Greek word hepaticus, which means liver. So it goes to the liver.
And what does it do? What does hepatitis C specifically do to the liver?
What hepatitis C does, it causes inflammation in the liver, and eventually it destroys liver cells. When the liver cells are destroyed, they're replaced by fibrosis, which is essentially scar tissue. So the normal liver becomes destroyed and it gets replaced by the scar tissue. The scar tissue is non-functional, so eventually people are going to develop liver failure.
And what happens then? What does that
mean?
Well,
you know, so you have to understand what the liver does to understand liver failure. And very simply, the liver detoxifies or metabolizes all of the medications that we take, alcohol that we drink, other recreational drugs. It's going to metabolize. It also, all of the food that we eat passes through the liver, and the liver builds proteins. It helps to regulate the glucose, the sugar in your blood, either putting it out or storing it.
So it's basically, just to interrupt you a minute, it's the liver itself is essential for life.
It's essential for life.
You cannot live without a fully functioning liver.
Correct.
Right. When you say metabolizes all these things, it makes them available for the body to use.
Breaks them down so that the body can use them, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So if you have liver failure, you're at risk to die.
You're at risk to die, yes. And here's what happens. When people develop liver failure, their blood platelets go down, and they're at risk of bleeding. The protein in the blood goes down, and it's protein in the blood that holds the fluid part of blood inside of the blood vessels. So the fluid weeps out of the blood vessels, and people get ascites, which is a lot of fluid in the abdomen, and they get edema, which is a lot of fluid in the lower extremities.
So it's a pretty serious issue if your liver isn't functioning well.
Yes, and then the really serious thing is people get encephalopathy.
So the brain gets swollen.
The brain gets affected by all the toxins that are building up, and so people have to be admitted to the hospital for care to get them back into shape.
So it sounds like the baby boomers are most at risk. Why is that?
Well, you know, a lot of things, in our country happened as the baby boomers reached adolescence. We had our sexual revolution. People started experimenting with drugs and that sort of thing. So it's, and even a lot of the baby boomers, I mean, I have patients who I know today are professional and responsible, but they experimented with intravenous drugs. Intranasal cocaine is thought to transmit hepatitis C if you're using the same instrument to take the cocaine intranasally. And then the more sex partners you have also increases the risk of hepatitis C infection. So I think it was the cultural changes that occurred in our country, plus blood transfusions.
But now it sounds like, Kelly, help us with this. I understand that your AIDS Institute is playing a role, or your AIDS clinic here, is playing a role in helping people with hepatitis C. Tell us about how that works.
Yeah. We have a grant program to provide care for people who are HIV and hepatitis C infected. Several years ago, the State Department of Health realized that there were so many people who were infected, didn't know their status, and it's easier to treat people early on than when they're very sick. And so grants were made available, and we have one. So our program provides on-site mental health services. We have a substance abuse counselor, a nutritionist, and we also have peer supports, which is very important for the program. So our patients can talk one-on-one with a peer. We're working on getting a support group going so they can meet as a group. It's important to talk to somebody that's been through the treatment that knows what it's like, because there are some significant side effects.
There are to the treatment. I want to come back to this. So somewhat similar to AIDS, now that we do have this AIDS cocktail going on and it's more of a chronic disease, with Hep C, there are treatments available. It's a virus, but there are actual treatments available. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are treatments that are available that can actually cure the disease, unlike HIV, which we can control, but hepatitis C we can cure. So the two mainstays right now of HIV treatment are drugs called ribavirin and interferon. Interferon is an injection that's given once per week.
You said of AIDS treatment. Do you mean AIDS?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I do so much AIDS treatment.
Right, clearly.
that I sometimes forget
but
what
I wanted
I'm talking
to
about.
No, but I wanted to make sure that we were clear on this.
Yes.
So you're now talking about these two drugs are for Hep C.
We're
Please
talking
go on.
About the Hep C drugs. Right. Interferon, which is an injection that can be given once a week, and then ribavirin, which are pills that are given every day. So we've been using those drugs for about 10 years now to treat hepatitis C, and overall, the cure rate was only 50%. Now, let me back up a minute. There are three common types of hepatitis C in the United States. Type 1 is the most common, and then there's type 2 and 3. So 2 and 3 are only treated with interferon and ribavirin. There's about an 80% cure rate for them, but there was, up until recently, less than a 50% cure rate for type 3. Now two new drugs are out on the market. One is called telaprevir, the other is called boceprevir. We have to give those drugs in combination with the interferon and the ribavirin, so they don't replace it. It's an add-on, and there are a lot of pills that need to be taken. But if we can treat the people with these medications for 6 months to a year, approximately 70% of them will have a cure.
Wow, that's incredible. So that is another strong motivator for people to go out and get tested.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because as you suggested, if you can have a disease that you don't know about for 20 years and then end up in liver failure, you might want to know about it in advance before you get to that advanced state.
Exactly. And you know, the individual, of course, wants to know about it, but, you know, the country as well. I mean, we're anticipating that, you know, over the next 50 years, the amount, billions of dollars, is going to be spent on taking care of people with cirrhosis and
which
who
is
need liver transplantation. Yes.
So in other words, this is also a public health concern.
Exactly.
On large scale, we need to make sure we do more preventative or curing of people before they get to that advanced stage.
Yes.
So where can people get the tests done? I mean, I know they're throwing out this large scale recommendation. Where do people go and get these kinds of tests done? And is it a simple blood test?
It is a blood test, and you can go to your primary care physician or any other medical provider, and they can order the test.
And then does it take a long time to get your results in terms of whether you have hepatitis C?
You know, I think that at most hospitals and labs, that's an overnight sort of test. I mean, you might even be able to get it in the morning and have the result back in the afternoon.
And then if you wanted, I mean, and this is generally covered by insurance? I mean, both the tests and the treatment, or is that something that you have to work out with your own individual relationship with your insurance company?
Insurance companies are getting more and more complicated to deal with, so it's taking a lot of time to get authorization to pay for the medications for our patients. We actually have a nurse and another staff person that they spend a good deal of their time working on getting the authorizations for the medication. Mm. So we have to jump through all kinds of hoops. We have to provide them with all kinds of lab results.
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
To our health system.
But it's worth it in the end, and we put the effort into it because we want people to be treated.
And in your experience, have you seen, in your own experience, 70% cure rates for that type 1 that you were talking about?
Well, we've just have started our co-infection clinic right now, so I don't think that we have enough patients I know we don't have enough patients and not even enough who are finished with their treatment. What I can say is that we're seeing very good results. People, you know, during the first 1 or 2 months of treatment, you can tell if people are going to have a good response. And so far, people are having very good responses.
So I want to make it clear, though, you run a clinic for AIDS, and so people who have Hep C would have to be co-infected with AIDS to go to your clinic. But anyone out there, any baby boomer, needs to be checked for Hep C and to go to their own primary care physician, get the test, get the treatment, and go from there.
Correct.
Right? Well,
correct.
I want to thank you so much for coming in today and sharing that with us. My guests have been Dr. David Parr. He's an associate professor of medicine specializing in infectious diseases, and he's the medical director of the designated AIDS Center at Upstate, and Kelly Flood, a social worker, and also the assistant program director of the same clinic. Thanks so much for coming in. We'll be right back right after the short break.